Okay. Yes, I do. Okay.
Basically, what I did was I did a weighting. If you notice, I weighted in my own mind what was most important out of all of these.
Yes.
And then I created a ranking system based upon those weightings.
Okay.
And then I have final weighting right over here.
Okay.
With a final score. So you notice the highest scores at the bottom. I cut off the top 20%, and then so on and so forth.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, for instance, you know, COI was important to me, 15%. Operating future growth is pretty important. Profitability, so-so, accepts recommendations, those were a little lower. Liability truck lower. Value of the assets obviously got a very high weighting.
Right.
And production was pretty high. So that's okay. Kind of how I view things. I can always change these around to multiply by the ranking from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And then I go from there. The ones in bold are going to be all the clients that I share with the CPA.
Okay.
So we went over that. She loved the supernova idea. She wants us to create a folder on a one pager on our service offering, which is going to have the 24. It'll have the bullet points of what supernova means.
Okay.
12 touch points, the 4 reviews, the 2 in-person reviews, the 24-hour response, the 2-day resolution. That's going to be the crux of our practice,
okay.
So on and so forth. So that's kind of where we are right now.
Wow, that's fantastic. You have really embraced it after just one call. I mean, that's amazing. Okay.
And then the orange is going to be all the accounts that are not individuals, but like profit sharing and DB plans are really not going to be part of this. I just had to categorize them differently.
Right. That's a different channel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these pink are the joint production numbers with other advisors.
Okay.
And then the blue is another advisor that I'm working with. But, you know, all in all, just in the green, is around 74 households.
Okay.
Right, and then of course the Butler accounts are the gray, the 1-8. So we have capacity, I think, up to 100. Anecdotally, probably going to onboard some of the smaller ones.
Right. Okay.
You know, they talk about 20% that have to go to other reassignment. I'm not going to reassign those. The ones that I am reassigning are the ones that have absolutely no potential.
Okay.
I know what they're working on.
Yeah, that deletes your brand. You know. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think that's kind of where we are right now, for now.
Okay. I would say you've done an outstanding job. Now, have you, remember we talked about the minimum and the maximum? You know, so, okay. All right.
I don't think there's a max. Oh, you mean the
target household? No, in terms of setting your targets and things, so your absolute minimum is the average of your assets divided by the number of clients you're going to keep. Okay. And your target minimum is the average of your top 20% of your practice. So if you look at the top 20% of your practice, and of course, the higher you set your minimum, the more exclusive you become. So what I'm seeing is the lowest minimum household that you're willing to bring on is 1 million, and that your target is going to be 2.5 million or more. Is that correct? Is that how you have it laid out?
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay. All right. So that covered pretty much everything in number one. By way of review, how many COIs have you identified thus far? Okay, so you've identified two COIs, and one of them happens to be the CPA you met with today. Okay. Now, before I get too far into the review, you know, I want to make sure I address all your questions and concerns as well as yours, Annika. Is there anything, any questions that you have up to this point? Okay. Right.
I just wanted more of an explanation, or I didn't quite understand why there needs to be six factors.
Okay. And see, what the six really represents, if a COI can give you one personal introduction, and that's how we like to do it in Supernova. You know, nobody says, hey, here's a business card, go call this person, or here's a phone number, go call this person. What we want to see is somebody making the actual personal introduction. Now, you can do that, you know, in the COI's office. They can come to your office. It can be over breakfast. It can be over lunch. But it is a personal introduction. And I'm going to talk to you about a script regarding the personal introductions process today. And then I'll need to send it to you. But if you looked at one CEO generating 12 relationships that meet your average, then that's 2.5. So, you know, you need to kind of really think about average versus target. So maybe if that's your average, and you always want to bring in better than your average, so maybe your target is 3 million or 3.5 as a target. Okay. So I want you to think about that. So I'm going to go back to the COI question. So if one COI can generate 12 personal introductions in a year, that would be ideal. If two do it, that's 24. If you get to six, that's 72 personal introductions. Now, here's what I'm thinking. If you receive 72 personal introductions and your close rate is 80%, then that's 56 new relationships. Yeah, I know, but it does seem unrealistic. So what we're saying though is, and you won't necessarily have the capacity to absorb those. Some are going to come in, you know, next year. They're all not going to come in 6 months. Okay. So we have a concept. I want to answer your question about what's real and what's not. So we have a concept called, stair step to the stars. And, stair step to the stars means that you're constantly upgrading. You look at my hand motion. You're constantly upgrading your targets and your minimums. So when you get to capacity at, let's say, 100, And that's a lot of work. Okay. If you get to a capacity of 100 and your targets have also incrementally grown, you know, where you once had a target of 3.5 and it's grown to 4 and, you know, then to 5. So you keep that balance in your practice. Now, the other thing that you may do is, Annika now, is dealing with, obviously a more sophisticated, or higher asset client as well. And so she's got to do the same thing. Okay. Now, what'll also happen is when you get to capacity, you've got to begin to start thinking about training another associate FA. And then we'll talk about how you onboard that new person. And so now, what's that? Yeah, maybe. Just depends on, you know, how these, the household growth, goes. So, you know, if, you know, pretty soon, if you tell me that, man, Curtis, I'm not getting any rest. I'm not having any fun. The ideal number of relationships for you is about 85. Just for one relationship manager. So that means Annika can have 85, you can have 85, but that's typically the max. Now, if you both take it up to 100, then you're maxing out, and that's 200 households that you're working with, and now we're back to, are we having any fun? Okay, all right. So does that kind of answer your question, Annika, on the COIs as to why we suggest 6? Now, we're not trying to force 6 down your throat. We're just saying for, you know, people who are want to aggressively grow, then 6 COIs is the way to go. All right. So, if you move into the second section, we try to you know, define what that COI is, and one of them is they get on the monthly schedule for calls, and what I'd like you to do next week is call Cindy Bowie and set up your call on the Supernova scheduler and look at that and see if that's a viable option for you. Yes. Now, exactly. So what we're trying to say here is give you the capability so that no clients fall through the cracks. Your COIs are on a schedule, as well. So they get a monthly call. Yeah, yeah, I understand. So if you can get the COIs on a schedule, and each COI should get a folder. It should have a profile of your team, a photograph, you know, your vision, your value prop, your service model. They get all of that. There's also, and we're jumping way ahead, but in that folder, the contents of what go in the folder are all the way into, well, let's see, probably chapter 14. Okay, so you've read it thoroughly. Okay, that tells you what the contents of the folder are going to be. All right. So, you know, so right now you've got, there are natural COIs. People that like you, they trust you, they send you introductions without you even asking. Okay. You know, like a lot of natural COIs, believe it or not, that make real good, COIs are consultants, business consultants. You know, I've got, okay, great. Yes, they can also be clients. Okay.
I have one client, very, very well respected.
Okay.
And also another one, or was in Orlando, retired, but he's still very influential in social circle.
Sure. Yeah. They can be. There you go. Okay. So look inside the book and also externally where you have relationships, with people who aren't clients, but are willing and are capable of referring. Okay.
So,
yes.
A lot of times, COIs already, they kind of want to see you already established. If you're a new advisor, if they've seen it all, they probably get weekly calls of new people coming in the industry going, hey, let's be friends. You're like, yeah, okay, no thanks.
Right.
Unless now, if you roll in there as a senior vice president, you know, with an established practice, then the narrative changes.
Right.
So I really built my practice on seminars.
Yeah. Right.
And since I've been only doing, I don't know, I've grown from 4 million to 150 million in 8 years, and of that, most of it was in the last 5 years.
Okay.
I'm kind of playing catch up on the traditional COI development.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Yeah. I mean, you've obviously done extremely well with seminars. They take work. There's lots of follow-up. So we're going to get the COIs to do a little bit of work on your behalf.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's quite important because, eventually, I think really beat up on it.
Right.
And then I can really, go after the COI and get a lot deeper there.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I'd like to share with you that's not in the manual is I want to fast forward so that you can kind of see how these outcomes should look, okay? So, I'll send this to you via email today. So, bear with me because I'm going to do a little bit of talking here, but we have a concept called VIPSA, and VIPSA is a referral model and around personal introductions. So I kind of want you to frame this way. So, number one, you're organized. Your clients and your prospects are now on a regular call schedule. And they're on the calendar. That's number one. Number two, you've elevated the level of service using 1242, 1 hour response to problems, 24 hour resolution, and you're implementing a financial planning process. Number three, you have monthly client agendas designed to educate your client, not always trying to sell them something, but to educate them on your capabilities. And usually it's one topic per month. Okay. Number four, your clients are receiving an executive summary after each call. You know, enjoyed our meeting today. This is what we discussed. You know, these are some of the issues we agreed upon, and these are the next steps. Okay. Okay. There you go.
And then, you know, once we get closer, I guess, to that next meeting, you said what, within a week?
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, a week.
Copy and paste that, set the meeting schedule along the agenda. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. So your executive summary is after the meeting. Your agenda that goes out 5 days prior to the meeting so that the client is compelled to have that meeting and they don't miss it now. So that's good. Now I want to talk to you about the next phase of this before we get into the script. Don't give anonymously. Now what does that mean? That means that you're providing something, you're doing something without acknowledgement. Okay. Always restate what you've accomplished or given to them and client benefits during a review. Now, for example, you know, we've saved you $5,000 in taxes. So, you know, you've reduced taxes by a specific amount. You've created a trust to avoid probate. You've protected the family against loss of the primary breadwinner. You've grown the assets through portfolio management. You've helped to solidify retirement income in the amount of, you know, $10,000 extra dollars per year. You saved thousands of dollars in interest payments. Maybe you use securities-based lending. Okay. Yeah. Remember at the last, our last call, I asked you, what did you value in the conversation today? Okay. And that's what you're doing.
And I had to put myself out there, put ourselves out there, that, you know, if we do it properly, you'll be looking forward to each of those calls.
Right.
I think it's doable, but boy, that's a lot of work.
Okay, so.
Everyone's going to have a need every month. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's why you can't do this with 150 relationships. So take four calls a day and multiply that times, 5 days, that's 20 per week, times 4 weeks, that's 80.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Yep. So that's four times, you're contacting clients four times a day. I'm not thinking that that's, gonna be a big deal for you. Right. And, now.
Also, when you tell the clients, some may just want 6 a year. Like, I think it kind of changes their buy-in.
I mean, are we forcing them to do the Supernova touch points? Because there will be some clients that, regardless of how much value
Yeah, there's going to be some clients that are going to give you a pushback. And one of the things that you can tell them is that, you know, look, if there's nothing to discuss regarding the financial plan that we've developed, you know, we'll cut the call by 10 minutes. It'll be a 15-minute touch base call. Make sure everything's okay and nothing has changed, and if whether or not you have any questions. But once those agendas go out, those clients are going to know that, you know, you're not wasting their time. Yeah, right. Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So that's the first part. Now, I'm going to share with you a script. And what I'd like you to think about, Ed, Annika, is taking it and making yourself comfortable, you know, with it. And it's called VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A. Now, VIPSA will relate to your COIs, and it will also relate to getting enthusiastic endorsements from your existing top 20% of your book. So now we've got the second leg of how we're going to accomplish business growth, as if the COIs, you know, weren't enough. I'm going to give you another idea. So let me share this with you. So now, Mary, I'd like to ask if there's anything else that you and your family value in the relationship or experience in working with us and the service we provide. So remember I said values. That's the B part of VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A. So what do they value in the relationship? Now, they may say, I like the frequency of contact. I like the sensitivity to the needs of the family. You've been educating us on all the nuances and new ideas. We like the service. We like the problem solving ability. You're a great listener. We like your organization and your team, etc. So that's what you want to hear. Okay? So that's the V part. Then we go on and we say, what else might be important to you? They may respond, well, what do you mean? We just want to make sure that we constantly fine-tune our service and capabilities for you, if that's okay. Okay, so now that's the I in VIPSA. Now we're going to go to the P part. With your permission, I'd like to briefly brainstorm with you. We're always looking for good clients that would like to work with our team. Are we at a point in our relationship that you can enthusiastically endorse us? Okay. Right. Can they enthusiastically endorse you? And if the answer to that is absolutely, let me explain our introductions process. It's a meeting over coffee, could be breakfast or lunch. You would bring the individual with you and make the introduction. You find out a little bit about them, and we explain who we are and what we do. And at the end of the meeting, we then determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting with just the potential client is warranted and possible. That's it. No pressure. If there is a follow-up meeting, we explain the 90-day free look. Now, they may say, well, what the heck is the 90-day free look? Well, this is when we give the potential client an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client and they're placed on our schedule for contact and follow-up. So now that's where the scheduler comes in. Nothing falls through the cracks. They're placed on the schedule for follow-up. And the person that controls the schedule is your VP of brand, which is your CSA. Prior to the end of the 90-day period, they make the decision if they'd like to work with us. So you can use just this piece when we talk a little more about the enthusiastically endorsed model as we go on. So then you respond by saying, continuing on, who in your network of family, friends, neighbors, church members, or business associates might welcome a personal introduction? Then, so you're helping. Then you're just going to say, well, how would you suggest we meet him or her? And you're going to listen very carefully to the signals. And sometimes they may say, well, you know, Joe, man, he plays golf like 3 days a week. And then we go to the 19th hole. Why don't you meet us there? Okay, great. So you're asking for their advice. That's the A part of VPSA. And then you close. Look, I appreciate the time you've given us. I look forward to the next call. And thanks for arranging a meeting with Bill. That's it. That's the personal introductions process. Okay. All right. Now, what I want to do now, so let me stop for a moment and hear from you. I've been doing a little bit of talking. How does that resonate with you? Yeah, use your own stuff.
Yeah, the 90-day, you know, the 90-day look, I have not worked. I mean, it's usually, you can either tell very quickly, you know, whether or not they're interested or not, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you can't close them in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It's just, putting it out there. Okay.
Most of the clients through introducing alternative investments.
Right.
So it's not as committal as a full blown let's do everything relationship.
Sure.
It always starts off with, hey, wow, you know, these alternatives are great, or I've had a good experience. And then as we have meetings, we start talking about a lot of other things.
Right.
And over time, they don't feel pressured to find an all or none situation where we either work with them entirely or not at all.
Exactly.
You know, it's for some folks, it's very stylistic where they're like, look, it's all or none. Right. Either you become clients or not at all. And some where we start off small and then build trust and it gets larger from there. And it just depends. I just find that in this day and age, anyone who's a QP is kind of like a battle-hardened whale with all bunch of harpoons in his bag. He's just like, he's been harpooned so many times, or at least, you know, targeted, that they get a little bit paranoid from someone going, hey, you know, within 90 days, I'll know whether or not I hate to do my whole life's work.
And sometimes it takes the client that's got $10 million or more,
yeah,
takes them a little more time to make that decision. Okay. All right. Very good.
Anyway, it's good to know. I mean, I put it this way, it's objective. If I feel that the client is ready for a full relationship,
right,
then I'll adjust accordingly. If there's others I know that only want our team because we offer alternatives,
right,
that's fine as well. And they're going to be, you know, they start off transactionally, and hope that they become full clients over time.
Okay, good. So one of the things I think I would like you to think about now is, when's the best time to really use this? referral process. The best time is after you've done something great. It's been a review, and this is your tagline, okay, to kind of close off your meeting. Okay.
And you're right. You know what the funny part is? Here's the public side. Advisors almost never ask for the referral.
Yeah.
Because they, but then I think that, I think that's just like feeling like they're salesy or a fear of rejection or like, and part of that, I think what you're saying is if we're doing a great job with the servicing and it's clear that they're very happy, then it's a lot easier to reach that subject versus I think a lot of advisors feel that they're just kind of going through the motions and asking for a referral. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. Someone's serving you and doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And not going above and beyond. Asking you to pony up another 5 or 10% after the meal is not comfortable.
Exactly. And so that's why you got your service model. You got them on a regular call schedule. They're getting the executive summary from you. They're getting the monthly agenda. You know, they got a folder. I mean, you now, right. Exactly. You now, are in a position to be enthusiastically endorsed by your client. Because here's what that person's going to say. Well, you know, look, I got a broker. I mean, what makes your guy so different? Oh, man, you got to meet this guy. I mean, you know, he's got it together. He works with a limited number of relationships. You know, his service model is outstanding. And, you know, I can enthusiastically endorse him. You know, and all the other things you do, it's the approach, it's the agendas that go out, it's the executive summary. He's going to be able to talk to his friend or colleague about the things you do. And then you, on top of that, once a month, you're making an effort just to help educate him on the nuances of areas that he hasn't even thought about. Okay. So that's what we're driving here. You do this, more assets are going to roll in for you. All right. Now, in chapter 3, we get into, I got like 15 minutes left. So, you know, you begin now to start informing your clients of your service model. You know, do, you know, 4 or 5 a week. That should be enough. And you are identifying your target niche markets and your 6 centers of influence. Okay. All right. So now, we move on to the team members and how you balance out what they do. So in the 5-star leadership model in building the concierge practice, sometimes on a smaller team, you take on multiple roles. Okay? So the 5 directors are the first is that they're broken down in between client-centered roles and team-centered roles, right? So the director of planning is going to ensure that every client has a plan. Now, they may not do all the planning for the team, but they're accountable for making sure when you go down that list that they have a plan. Okay. And so who's going to be accountable for that? Is that going to be Annika?
Yeah.
Okay. So Annika, you are accountable for making sure that every client has a plan going forward. Okay. Now the director of plan implementation overseeing the investment process, basically, that's probably you, Ed. You're setting the tone and the direction for the team. Okay. Director of brand. That is your CSA. She is making sure that nothing falls through the cracks for your clients on the scheduler. Now, one of the things that I'd also like you to think about is put your workout in on that schedule. You know, give yourself time for whatever you do. Yoga, meditation, whatever. Put that in there. Call it me time. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So she'll, if you can kind of tell her, if she missed this.
Yeah.
Just tell her kind of what we're doing.
Right.
So I think and what you would do is like, once we get the file sharing done.
Yeah.
We start setting up these spreadsheets.
Yes.
And then she worked with Cindy Bowie, so we were going to start. Once I finish my review cycle come September, hopefully at that point, or even knows what Supernova is, and then we start the process.
And I can also be on the calls with Cindy and Linda, just so I am aware.
And transition her and make sure that she knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
That's the director of brand. Okay, great.
So that's the client-centered activities. Then the team has what's called the team-centered activities. Director of growth and marketing. And this, that would be you too. So double role, holding the team accountable for implementing the acquisition strategies. Now, further down the road, we're going to give you a process, but you know, you're really good at, you know, kind of tracking, but somebody is going to say, look, how many, you know, prospect meetings did we have this week? How many financial plans did we do? Our goal was for 4 and we only did 3. What happened? So that's kind of how you operate. It's like a back and forth, you know, assessment once a week on your progress. Okay. Or you can delegate that. You can delegate that. Yeah. Give that to Annika. She's okay. I love it. Now the director of leadership, serves the team as the guiding light. You help everybody stay focused and productive. Okay. Sometimes. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, often most, yeah, but mostly oftentimes the biggest producer is not necessarily the director of leadership. You know, I'll give you a couple of thoughts. I have, Yes. I was just getting ready to say that. I've got a team of 5 relationship managers, and the biggest producer is not the chief operating officer for the team.
Okay.
Exactly.
Duty.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think that's something that I don't know whether or not I'm going to be that person or Annika will be that.
person. It could be someone that gets hired sometime later on, maybe an operations person within Morgan Stanley that just knows they're not going to be an FA.
Right.
But like a BSM, basically, like a BDSM or whatever the heck they are.
Well, in that role, we find a lot of different things. I mean, sometimes that person is also a relationship manager handling a certain number of client relationships as well. But they happen to be really good at.
Okay.
All right. So that's the 5-star model: director planning, plan implementation, brand, growth and marketing, and leadership. Okay.
I mean, I think
Okay.
And then Annika would be the planning, and then helping a little bit out with their, you know, kind of keeping on top of the brand. And,
okay.
And then business development, keeping on top of the, or helping out, you know, setting up seminars and this and that. And then the leadership of the operating officers, you know, show, you know, make sure that the, you know, the machinery is running smoothly.
Exactly. And you know what? Okay. This may evolve. Just understand that there's an evolution. It can change. Okay.
So I have a quick question.
Yeah, sure.
So we're in the midst of, you know, really smoothing and honing our team, and I'm getting approached by their advisors who want to team up and this and that. And Mike has told me it could be an interesting opportunity because, you know, then you combine forces and you get more help. But I'm like, I just feel as though until we get our act together and running it smoothly, there may not even be a fit regardless of just the overall math that now you're onboarding another 90 relationships, and they might, you know, we would all have to start from scratch from the Supernova in their business.
Exactly.
They may not want to kick out the people that we need to. And you know what I'm saying? And then on top of it, it's like, who's going to take the lead? I feel like it would dilute what we're trying to accomplish, or at least the fact that we're still not even running at 100% speed, trying to onboard and another advisor thinks.
Look, I get it. I think that I wrote a book on teams, Supernova Advisor Teams, A Pathway to Excellence. And in that book, there's a chapter on onboarding another member of the team and getting them to assimilate appropriately on that team. So, you know, you should read that chapter and understand the onboarding process. I just don't want to throw too much at you right now. But I do think that you should have an interview process and decide, you know, who is the appropriate candidate to be on your team. You know, and you know, in the book, I also write a chapter on team dysfunction. And one of the areas I talk about is the avoidance of groupthink, and that teams should have a little bit of tension and discourse around direction and what they do. So, but let's get your Supernova component down, where then you'll be in a better position to evaluate who the team member might be to help optimize the practice.
Because if that person is added because they have the practice, it's got to be really added. They have to fill one of these roles that
exactly.
So I can focus and maximize. Like, for instance, you know, let's say I added a team member and this particular person is very on top of the investment process and you know, the brand, not branding, but servicing, you know,
right,
the servicing aspect. So maybe this guy takes on the role of doing all the investments except for the alternative.
right.
even though I can do the investments for everything.
Sure.
And then now I pivot more the role of acquisition business development in a significant way.
Exactly. So, for example, I've had teams where they decided to work with a virtual team member that really took over the investment process. This team added $500,000 in production in the middle of a pandemic because they did do that. So, you know, brought in a $17 million relationship on top of that. So those are things you want to examine that we can also talk about. All right.
One fellow in the office, he's absorbing someone else's book. He wants to grow. He's a miger, grinder.
Yeah.
I'm a fighter.
Okay.
And he has no problem doing the investment reviews and this, that, and the other. But also, he's very service oriented. Nice.
Okay.
And his book is generally pretty tight, but obviously, there's going to be more elements, and his practice adds, we'll have the ability to really consolidate the CSA role.
Okay.
But not quite in the production where I can have a CSA, but
right.
Those together would be, that and some. So.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I even talk about the elements of a team agreement. It's like you form a team. I know it's difficult to start thinking about, well, what if we broke up? What happens? And so I talk about the elements of a team agreement and what should be included. Exactly.
Okay.
I
think that's where you were going.
Yeah. So here's what we're moving pretty good, and we're about out of time. A couple of things that I'd like you to think about. Review page 37 in the guidebook. And page 38, where you're looking at the gaps, doing a gap analysis on your team, and begin to start looking at the folders old overview. Okay. And that would take us through the third section. And I would like you to continue to introduce Supernova to clients, assign members of the team, their directors, so that they formally know that. So that if I – are you guys gone? Oh, okay. So if I – oh, no worries. So if I asked Annika, what is the unique value you bring to the team, she's going to tell me. If I ask your CSA, director of brand, what is the unique value you bring to the team? So when you sit down with that CPA and your team is present, each of you is able to express and articulate the value that you bring to the team. Okay, so meet with the team members. And make sure that they have the competence in the areas that they're going to be responsible with. You're going to contact Cindy Bowie, and that should kind of do it. Why don't you give me just a quick 1 minute on what you think you extracted from this session today, Annika? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. And Ed, 1 minute on what you think you extracted out of an hour-long session. Okay, perfect. Okay. I enjoyed meeting with you all today. I look forward to our next session. If you have any questions, send me an email, give me a call, and I look forward to meeting with you and contact Cindy, okay? Yeah, it's on the email. All righty. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.